Now, we've all heard the expression, the silent treatment. Maybe when we were children, this was a harmless game that was played among friends or siblings. However, when it comes into adulthood, it can often take a more sinister form. A refusal to verbally communicate with someone else can be very detrimental. It can hurt when someone will not talk to us simply because they want to punish us or manipulate or control us. Other times people refuse to speak to another person simply because they themselves cannot bring themselves to do this. They have known hurt, they have experienced pain of some sort, and this silence is something which they just can't overcome. And not speaking is for them their way of coping. Clearly it becomes and is often a very complex and emotional issue. But when it comes to the Christian and our relationship and our fellowship with God, it may feel to many, and it may seem to many, as if God is silent to us. In times past, this was often referred to by believers as spiritual desertion, or sometimes a dryness of soul. Others might describe it as an experience of not knowing or nor having the presence of God. Whatever words we use, whatever terminology we use to try to define this, most likely we all know what I'm referring to. And so the question today on this podcast is very simply this: what to do when God seems silent? Well, first of all, we must not allow feelings to conquer faith. While we must, as Christians, not be people who are void of affection and feelings, of course we have to feel passionately about the truth that we receive from the Word of God, we also have to guard against allowing feelings to teach us about God Himself. It is not our feelings that instruct us regarding who God is and the things that God does. And this question, therefore, which I put to us, what to do when God seems silent, this question can often be addressed, and the majority of it is addressed, by just giving careful consideration to this one point alone. The Christian is not any more or any less a believer depending on how happy or sad they wake up or go to bed. If that were the case, it would make the work of Christ, it would make his death, the most ineffectual and pointless work there has ever been. It was John who wrote in 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5, he wrote of the born-again believer overcoming the world. I think that's a staggering statement the Bible gives us. You know, what is it that overcomes the world? How do we overcome the world? And it's quite a statement when you consider all that this entails. So John, what is the key? What do we do? Well, he says it's our faith, even our faith. But John does not leave us in darkness, does he, to stumble about trying to discover what faith might or might not be. No, he goes on. He goes on into 1 John 5 and verse 5. And as he goes on, he says, "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" In other words, my dear friends, you're not told to feel that Jesus is the Son of God. That's not what we're doing. We're not feeling our way through our faith and our walk with God. No, it's not that. People do not feel nor experience their way to heaven and salvation. We do not feel that Jesus died for us. These are things which are revealed in the Word of God, and we're called upon to believe them and to trust them. And while a genuine faith in the Saviour will always live in the heart of the Christian, and it will cause the believer to burst with genuine biblical feeling, yet it's a saving faith in Christ that unites our soul to the Saviour, and which therefore will continue to give us overcoming power. And that's in the main the answer to this great problem of what we perceive to be silence. So when we say we feel that God is silent to me, we have to respond by reconfiguring ourselves and getting back to that which instructs our faith at all times, at all circumstances. That is the Word of God. Well, let's move on here. And following on from that, we must also remember that while seasons of spiritual desertion may be experienced, and I don't undermine that, and I'm not doubting that, they do happen, that in the ultimate sense, God has spoken and spoken forever. So while we may go through times we feel God is silent or there's that spiritual desertion, and we'll get to some other reasons in a moment, always in the back of our mind, and really at the forefront of our mind, I should say, is this understanding. God has spoken. He's spoken. And he's spoken perfectly. And he's spoken forever. In both Psalm 60, Psalm 108, it says, God hath spoken in his holiness. There is at times an expectation in some Christian circles that God will speak to the Christian outside the Bible. I'm not talking about how God can and does use circumstances to guide us in his providence, because he does use circumstances. Nor am I even talking about non-verbal strivings or promptings in the human heart. I believe the Spirit will strive in that manner. But I refer to those who insist on a verbal voice coming to them outside the pages of Holy Scripture. That places the Bible in a poor light. You see, in giving us the Word of God, we have the living book whose pages and words still speak today. And in that respect, God can never be silent. So here's the question. Is it the case that the same people who are looking for these type of extra or outside of the Bible experiences so that they can say God has spoken to me are the same people who only come to the actual Bible and its pages now and then, and when they do read it, well, they read it without prayer and genuine intent? I certainly have to say that anyone that reads the Bible in such a scarce fashion and never turns to its pages, it's not surprising that they're riddled with these feelings of a silent God. He is not a silent God. He's spoken, and his word is settled forever. Well, another angle to take is this, and it's to search our own hearts and see whether this perceived silence is actually connected to our own backsliding or harbored sin. That's hard, isn't it? That's very difficult. There are dozens of verses from the Bible which we all treasure, Christian, and memorize, because they give us legitimate comfort, telling us that God doesn't leave nor forsake his people, and he doesn't, because we're sealed forever in Christ and by the Spirit. But the same loving God also told his people in the Bible that while his ear was not heavy and unable to hear, yet their iniquities are separated between them and God. And while our relationship with God can never be severed, yet fellowship with God can be greatly affected by our backsliding. And it may be that this is the perceived silence, that God is in a loving, fatherly manner chastening us so that he brings us back into a closer walk with God. And then lastly, I know there's much more that could be said, but the last thought, such occasions or such feelings or seasons of perceived silence, they have to prompt us, therefore, to earnest prayer and waiting on God. And I don't use that phrase like a cliche, but genuine waiting on God. And you certainly would not be alone in doing this. Consider Psalm 10 verse 1. The psalmist says, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why? You know, why is this? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? May not be because of our own sin that these seasons of silence or spiritual desertion are felt. Maybe we're looking around at the world in which we live and we say, Lord, you seem so far off from any of us. Remember, he isn't. That same psalm goes on to talk of the Lord who's King forever and ever. But in the immediate moment, we struggle to see it. And so what do? We pour out our hearts to God. And just as in this psalm, so in the great messianic psalm, Psalm 22, which will always bring us to Christ, but is also a reference to David's experiences, we say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? Well, what do? We go back to what we know. And in that same psalm, again, the knowledge is given, but thou art holy. In God's mysterious providences, he often uses what we perceive as periods of silence to draw us closer to him in prayer, to long more for him. The Christian church today, particularly in the West, is barren spiritually. We might even say God seems silent to us. But the answer then is not to cast aspersion on his faithfulness, nor doubt his tender care or the reality of gospel truth. No, the great response is that the Church of Christ and the Christian must be moved to call upon him, because the silence, my friend, is actually within us. We are silent. It's not that God is silent. Oh, that we would lift up a volume of prayer unto him and call down his great blessings from heaven.